The 1953 coup is very relevant to the U.S.-Iran relationship.
So this has been absolutely critical to the Iranian government.
Many people don't realize that Iran was a democracy at one time.
When people are showing pictures of Mossadegh on the streets of Tehran, it's a way of protesting against the current Iranian government.
I took the idea of writing this book from comments I heard from some Iranians. I would say to them, why is it that Iran has never been able to develop a democracy? And they looked at me very quizzically and said, well, we had a democracy here until America came over and crushed it. Iran has actually been on its path toward democracy for more than 100 years.
This is a 150-year-old struggle that the Iranians have been conducting in order to win their own independence, have their own foreign policy.
After World War II, the democratic system that had existed in form but was not being truly respected emerged in full bloom. Mohammad Mossadegh has been largely forgotten by now, but in his time, he was a huge, titanic figure.
Mossadegh is a symbol of Iranian independence. It's a symbol of a moment in time when Iran stood up and told the rest of the world that it could get along by itself, that it wanted to have control over its own resources.
He decided, as the spokesman really for the whole Iranian people, that it wasn't fair anymore for all of Iran's oil to be owned by one British company that paid Iran almost nothing for the privilege. The standard of living that people in England enjoyed all during the 1920s and 30s and 40s was due to Iranian oil. But at the same time, Iranians were living in some of the most miserable conditions of any people in the world. Iranians demanded that they be allowed to control their own oil and that the money they made from oil would be used not to support the living standards of some European country, but to improve the lives of Iranians. With the unanimous vote of both houses of the Iranian parliament, Iran nationalized the Anglo-Iranian oil company. After a while, the British began to realize they had no choice but to try to overthrow Mossadegh and replace him with a regime that was more favorable to England. Prime Minister Winston Churchill sent one of his top secret agents to Washington. Now, what he said was, Mossadegh is leading Iran toward communism. And sure enough, in his meeting, he didn't even mention the oil situation. Now, Mossadegh was an elderly aristocrat who actually despised all socialist and Marxist ideas.
And unfortunately, because of this coup that took place, sponsored by the CIA and the British Secret Service, this nascent democracy was basically crushed, and the Shah was reinstated, and he continued to reign the country with an iron fist.
So Iranians, you know, especially with President Bush talking about democracy promotion, they say, well, look, we had potential for a much more democratic government back in 1953, and you, the Americans, got rid of it.
Here's an example of an operation that seemed successful at first. We overthrew a guy we didn't like, and we placed in power somebody who would do everything we wanted. But when we look back on it now, and we see what has happened to Iran after we intervened and overthrew its democracy, we see all the unpredicted consequences. It doesn't look like much of a success anymore.
On the first day of Ronald Reagan's presidency, the hostages were released based on a negotiated Algiers Accord in which we pledged neither directly nor indirectly to interfere in the internal affairs of Iran. Of course, we have violated that ever since.
A lot of the rhetoric coming out of Washington right now is talking about regime change.
We're seeing a new threat, and that is that the United States may want to intervene violently in Iran again.
There is no quick fix when it comes to the United States and Iran. It has to be a long, drawn-out process, and I think we have to rely on the Iranians themselves to self-correct the excesses of their system.
Our efforts to intervene, our efforts to try to control, is precisely what is causing the backlash. Iran is a fiercely independent-minded country.
If the United States were to attack Iran, I think there would be an enormous reaction against the United States. Americans would not be greeted as liberators.
It is simply beyond any realm of possibility for us to be able to invade and occupy that country.
Interestingly enough, I believe that not only are America and Iran not fated to be enemies forever, but actually, these are two countries with many strategic interests in common.
So I think we're coming to a point in the country, in the region's history, in which if we don't pursue diplomacy, no one's going to be able to emerge out of this situation a winner.
The best approach is negotiations without preconditions.
We have come to accept the idea of Iran and the United States being hostile to each other as a permanent situation. We now are at the moment where we need a kind of Nixon in China moment. We need to reconceive this relationship. We need to understand that it doesn't have to be like this.